You're listening to Up Your Game, a weekly show designed to turn dreams into goals and goals into reality. Here's your host, entrepreneur and content creator, De Niro B.
What's going on, Game Changers? De Niro B here with another episode of Up Your Game. Now, before we dive into the content and we're going to start dropping some value bombs, wanted to ask you to please subscribe to this podcast. If you haven't done that already, it helps me and it helps you stay on top of all the new episodes that we release every single week. Also, if you haven't, please share this podcast with your friends. It's important because if you're on the rise, you want your friends to be on the same page as you are. You don't want them to slow you down, but most importantly, you want to help your circle grow with you. All right, so let's get started. What is going on, Game Changers? De Niro B here with another episode of Up Your Game. Today, I am here with the owner of NF Media, a digital publishing agency in Houston, Texas. He also has a YouTube channel called The Super Affiliate Show, a channel dedicated to helping you make money online with the latest strategies, tips, tutorials, and more. And he also has an amazing Instagram page called Your Marketing Mentor. That's actually how I met him initially. His content is packed with valuable information designed to help you succeed in the online world. Without further ado, let me introduce the man himself, Nate Fancher. How you doing, man?
What's going on, De Niro? Good to see you, sir. Yeah, doing great.
Awesome. So before we dive into questions, Nate, give us a bit of a background on how you got started in the internet marketing world.
Yeah, so I moved to Nashville after high school. I didn't go to college right away. I moved to Nashville, Tennessee. I was in the music business for a little while. I'm a musician, but I also got on the business side, learned a lot about publishing, songwriting publishing. And through a lot of different things, I ended up learning how to do stuff on the internet because that was such a new thing at the time. One of those things was a podcast that I did where I interviewed songwriters and people in the music business. And so that was actually fully, completely independent. I didn't have a contract with anyone or anything like that. So I had to learn a lot of stuff on my own. And from that, I just started to learn little things here and there and pieced it together and made a lot of mistakes. And it really was when I had my first kid. I have three kids. That firstborn boy, his name is Miles, he ended up just putting such a fire under my tail because I'm like, I got to grow up now and actually figure out how to make business work for me. I had so many different projects going on. I had some good things happening, but I really wanted to find out how to do this online so that I could have a different kind of lifestyle than most people have. So, yeah.
That's so true. I'm basically on the same boat. Listen, let me ask you this question. You've been working hard to help people realize what they can do outside of the 9-to-5 world. There are so many quote unquote gurus out there, and I hear some people are getting overwhelmed. And it does make sense. Every time you click on a YouTube video, there's an ad on top of that YouTube video. You scroll through your Facebook feed and there's like several Facebook ads, people asking you to click on their links, download their ebook. So I want to ask you, in your opinion, what is the best way for someone that is totally new to this world to, you know, distinguish good content like the one you produce from the not so good, kind of the shady one?
Yeah. So the way that, you know, I always tell people with all the gurus out there, you got so many different people saying, you know, listen to me. I know the right answer. Guru is a word that's thrown out a lot, it seems like. And to me, I always tell people, look for content that they're doing just completely for free. That's goodwill content that they have on their YouTube channel, on their Instagram page, whatever it may be. Look for value first. If you don't see anything like that and all you see is just a sales page, then make sure, if you really want to, do a lot of research. But if you can't find anything on it, it's going to be, that to me would be a red flag. Now, I think those kind of marketers are not around as much anymore because people are beginning to realize you have to connect with people. You have to give them value before you ask for anything at all. So I always tell people to look for a lot of content as much as you can. Now, some guys don't have a ton. And I've come across this, especially in the internet marketing space. You've got these gurus, so to speak, who have really good sales funnels. They have a good webinar. They have something. They're giving you value. But then when you go and try to look for them, they're not really out there. You can't really find them, but you might find a few things. So they may not be famous necessarily. But if you have sort of a tolerance for taking action and taking that risk and checking it out, then go for it. But I mean, these days you can find so much content for free from a guru before you have to make a buying decision.
No, that's totally making sense. I mean, I would do the same thing. I have taken high ticket course actually from people that are not super famous online, but the entire system leading up to the course was just amazing, amazing webinar. So it just made so much sense. Listen, although we have been seeing a big increase in people trying to open their own businesses, there are still lots of people that feel stuck and they can't seem to move forward. And in your experience, what is preventing people from taking their online business to the next level and working from home? Is that a lack of effort or anything else in your opinion?
People fail online a lot. Well, first of all, it may be a lack of experience. It may be a lack of knowledge. It may be they don't have the right work ethic, especially if you have this other, if you have a main job and you're trying to do something on the side, you're out of energy at the end of the day, if you're trying to do it at night, or if you're trying to wake up extra early to do stuff. I mean, there is you have to have a lot of stamina and a lot of energy. So that's stuff you got to get down. But I think the number one thing that really holds people back is just fear. And that fear keeps them from taking action. When you start to take action, you begin to learn a lot differently than when you take courses or read books. I'm all about reading books and taking courses because you have to have some head knowledge before you do anything. But it's when you get out and apply the head knowledge, when you get out and put it into practice, that you're going to learn in a way that is unlike any other type of learning. And so, but people are scared to take action. They're scared to fail. I was telling you earlier before the call, I've got three kids. They're learning to ride bikes. I had one that did a major accident yesterday. And he started crying, and it was a big, you know, bike wreck. And I gathered the other two guys. I have three sons. I gathered the other two around, and I said, "Guys, isn't this awesome? Ian fell down, and he fell down. We should be happy." Like, we're not clapping. He's like, "Why are you clapping?" I'm like, "No, this is good. You have to. The only way you're going to become really good at riding a bike is if you get on and try a lot, because no one is great at anything the first time." And so you're going to have a lot of mistakes, and those mistakes are what keep you going, and they help you know what not to do next time. So the people that are scared they're going to get hurt on a bike never learn how to ride the bike. So anyway.
Oh my gosh, I actually love that analogy of the bike. I remember scraping my leg when I was probably 8-9 years old, and that was an amazing lesson. And after that, I don't think I've ever fallen down, but I also got much better at riding my bike too. But it really all boils down to taking action. You're completely right. Listen, you create massive value with both your IG posts, YouTube, and also your email marketing campaigns. And that is proof that access to knowledge is not a big issue in this day and age. Absolutely not. So with so many options available out there, like Amazon, digital marketing, dropshipping, what should people take into account when they're choosing a business model to pursue for themselves?
When I was when I first saw this question, you sent me the questions, you know, earlier, and I was thinking about this because a lot of people ask the wrong question first. I'm not talking about your question to me. I'm talking about like people that DM you on Instagram or they DM me. They're like, "Hey, does dropshipping work, or should I do affiliate marketing, or should I do, will this work or that work?" That's the wrong question, because the truth is it all works. There's really not a business model out there that that you're hearing about in an ongoing way, like dropshipping or affiliate marketing or content marketing or whatever it is. There's lots of different ways to do it. They all work. What people need to do is, I wrote this down actually, they need to think about a few things. Is it going to be profitable? I think that the advice to follow your passion, forget about the money and follow your passion, I actually think that's kind of bad advice. If you're trying to do a side hustle and get going an online business, the first and most important thing you have to figure out is your money, because money puts food on the table, right? And I think that if you can find sort of, you know, these the Venn diagram, that's what it is. When you put these like the things together and what crosses over, what overlaps, does it make money? Is it something that's going to be profitable for you? Is it a good fit for you? So yes, you have to enjoy certain aspects of it. I'm not saying that you should just go out and do something that makes you a lot of money. And if you hate it, you should do it anyway. I'm just saying don't go first towards like, what do you love? You know, that's kind of just thrown out there. You need to think, like for me, like I love music, and I started to try to do online business first with music. And I realized that this is a different world, and there's not going to be a lot of money in that for me at at first. So I went into the affiliate marketing space to teach online marketing because the commissions are a whole lot higher and the money's a lot better. It's more competitive, but there's a whole lot more money to be made. Once I figure that out and do that, I have cash flow coming in, I have money coming in. And that brings off such a stress and such a pressure that people don't have to worry about. Once you have money problems solved, you can now focus on what are you passionate about? What do you love? What can you spend time doing? But I think another thing I would say, so profitability, is it something that'll make you money? Is it a good fit for your personality? Do you enjoy it at some level? And then thirdly, this is the most important thing. You have to stay consistent at anything for a long enough period of time before something begins to work. For me, like I always have sort of a 3 month, a 6 month, and a 12 month kind of benchmark for the things that I pursue. At the 3 month mark, I want to see that I have realistic goals. I have things that are attainable within 3 months. And if I can hit those things in 3 months, then that means I keep going. And then 6 months, there's something that happens between 3 and 6 months that's like, okay, there's a breakthrough. I'm seeing this thing work now. Like, for example, my Instagram page, if I had quit in the first month and a half because I wasn't seeing it grow fast enough, I wouldn't be where I am now. It took pushing through that really hard period. The beginning part of any adventure is the hardest part because there's no momentum. So anyway, I would say those three things.
I absolutely love what you're saying, man. That makes total sense. Honestly, I know that a lot of people are basically like in love with making money, and the idea of making money is the only thing they have in mind. So for that reason, they don't become successful because they don't enjoy their day-to-day activities in order to build a business. But at the same time, I know tons of people that jump into an idea simply because they're quote-unquote passionate about it without taking into account how much work goes into building a business. Because at the end of the day, even if you're passionate about yoga, for example, it doesn't mean that to open a yoga studio, all you do is just do yoga 24/7. There's so many other things that you have to take care of. This episode is brought to you by Phoenix Planner at phoenixplanner.com. I've been using the Phoenix Planner for 3 months now, and as soon as I started using it, I dropped every other productivity tool I was using. The Phoenix Planner lets me set my 3 to 5 year goal, then it breaks that down into a yearly one. Now, once the big picture is complete, it makes you set 4 quarterly goals, and that's when the real planning starts. Phoenix Planner allows you to schedule weekly, daily, and monthly tasks. It has a monitoring system for tracking your habits, and it works as a journal too. On the daily pages, you can write down your focus and what you're grateful for. Now, remember that gratitude is the key to keeping yourself grounded and in control every day. There are also slots for rating your performance and giving yourself feedback. In a nutshell, the Phoenix Planner is the ultimate planner if you want to take your life and business to the next level. Visit phoenixplanner.com to get 20% off your order. Apply the code PHOENIXDEN at checkout. That is PHOENIXDEN for 20% off your order. And now, let's get back to the episode. Let's talk about content creation. I hear people that want to open a blog or an Instagram page, they're worried about it taking up too much time. What are a couple of tips you can give our listeners to maximize their time while still being able to post on a daily basis or at least consistently?
I mean, it really depends on what their schedule is and what's going on in their lives. I think that it's a good discipline to learn what's called batch processing. You look at your 7-day week, and if you can have a model week that you can get in a routine with every single week, look at your days and go, okay, Monday, I'm just going to work on posts. If you're doing this part-time, you know, it becomes even more important to probably do the batch processing thing. You just got to find some sort of a window where all you do is you do what you can and you just crank out as much content as you can in one sitting. It really comes down to, again, what your schedule is and what your lifestyle is and what's going on in your life. If you have a whole lot going on, you need to batch process. You just have to. If you are more free and you have kind of free time and stuff, and you're kind of a free spirit and a creative, I kind of tend to be more like that, to be honest. I do just knock it out when I have a sense of inspiration. So I just go, all right, I got to do this. I'm going to do it quickly. And then I do it. So I think it's a mixture of both.
Yeah.
Being able to kind of hone your craft. Like we're talking about, once you get really good at something, you become more passionate about it and you create better work anyway. But I think batch processing would be what I tell people. I got to where I was about a week out at the most. I think I was 2 weeks out. I remember one time 2 weeks out with content on my Instagram page. Mm-hmm. With YouTube, I pretty much am doing the video before the day I publish it. So that's a little bit of a different strategy though, based on what I've been doing on my YouTube channel. But yeah, so I don't know if that helps or not.
No, it makes sense 100%. Of course, I work the same. I was asking, but I work exactly the same. I do my posts on Monday morning and then for my podcast, and then I create my Instagram post every couple of weeks. I know that for some people that may create content that it's a bit more viral in nature, some commentary around videos that come out, you know, every couple of days, those guys can't really do batch processing because they rely on new content to, you know, to work around. So, but other than that, batch processing is the way to go. I use it all the time. So absolutely. Listen, some people that I speak to on Instagram tend to be impatient with their business and they want to get great results and they want them right away. And that drives me nuts, to be honest. But what is one piece of advice that you would give someone that's getting restless? How should they switch their mentality from a sprint mentality to a marathon mindset?
That's good. That's a good question. You know, I think to address the heart in that situation, the person's attitude underneath it all is really what needs to be talked about. I think that the problem is that they have a discontentment with where they are, which tends to be tied to a lack of taking action. I know this might sound a little deep and sort of philosophic or whatever, but I think that I know for me, in my experience, whenever I tend to get unsatisfied with where I'm at and I want to be somewhere else faster, it means that I'm kind of spinning my wheels and I'm not being very productive. I'm not seeing good results with the things I'm working on or whatever. It might mean that I go to the drawing board and I go, okay, what are my goals for the next quarter or whatever it is? What are my goals right now? What's realistic and what action steps can I be taking right now? And I need to get relentless about taking action, because when you begin to take action, you learn, as we've been talking about, you learn, but you also see results. Sometimes they're not great results, but you can see good results. And that brings a lot of satisfaction, even if it's not this like humongous success. I mean, the thing is like, let's take Instagram, because we're both Instagram guys. I remember thinking, man, if once I get to 10,000 followers, my world's going to change. I'm going to be an influencer. I'm going to have the swipe up. I'm going to have all this stuff, right? And man, I'm telling you, it's not that glamorous. And when I'm learning, I'm looking at like right now, my big goal is 100,000 followers. And for some people, that's a lot of followers. And I think that we're never really satisfied with an event or some sort of having arrived. It really is a journey that we have to be satisfied in the moment. And you know what I'm saying? Like, but I think it's really tied, like these people that want, they're getting frustrated and they want this sort of faster result. Even if they were to get that fast result, it's not going to be as awesome as they thought it was going to be. It really, truly is something about humanity where we're never satisfied by those types of things. And so I think taking action and just doing the work and having an appreciation for the present moment in the journey is going to be what makes you happy.
Honestly, man, you couldn't have said it better. It's all about the journey, really, at the end of the day. And when people think, well, I'm going to be happy once I'm going to have $1 million, $1 billion, I'm just thinking about all those Teslas exploding in China and in the States. And you got there, you know, billionaire Elon Musk probably not being able to fall asleep because his cars are popping everywhere. I mean, those ones are big problems. And the guy, even though the guy has money, he has a lot more problems. Sometimes I look at him and it's like, oh my gosh, I wouldn't want to be him. Same thing with a lot of other entrepreneurs. I'm using them as an example just because I read an article not that long ago about it. But there is a lot of millionaires and billionaires having a bad day. And that's really the point of this is, you know, you're going to have bad days regardless of how much money you have in the bank, and you're gonna have good days regardless of how much money you're gonna have in the bank. So for that reason, I always say to my followers, just enjoy the process, your small wins and your small losses right now, because as your business grows, your problems will grow as well. So it's not all gonna be happy thoughts and happy things once you have some money aside. All right, listen, let me ask you another question. Just like I mentioned in the introduction, you're active on so many platforms. So can you give us an idea between YouTube and Instagram? If someone was to start out today, what platform is good for what? Can you tell us the difference between the two?
Yeah, I think that Instagram is great for branding and for it's actually a pretty low barrier to entry as far as the platform is concerned. It's great for organic reach. It still is. I think that's going to end up changing soon. I think organic reach is going to start to go down even more. But that's, you know, we see these 15-year-old kids on Instagram posting content and they're never showing their face and they're growing big pages. That's pretty cool. You know, it kind of depends on your setting and your skill set. I mean, if you are good on camera and you can, or you don't even have to be on camera to be on YouTube. You could do just recordings of your screen and talking. What makes YouTube amazing to me is that it's much more discoverable for years to come, your content. Yes. On Instagram, your posts, you know, they have, you know, 3 days at the most, right? And not the case on YouTube. And so if you understand, you know, the way that the search engine on YouTube works and how to optimize videos for ranking, if you can learn that skill, YouTube can be amazing for affiliate marketing and for building an audience and all of that. It's a lot more work, though, as far as producing the video and getting it edited and doing that type of stuff. I think I would say for anyone who doesn't have any experience for digital media, I think if they can learn how Instagram works, it's a better place to start. It's an easier place to start. So that's just my opinion. I mean, it just depends on who you are, though. And it depends on what you enjoy. I mean, if you really like to talk and gab like I do and just get on a camera and make yourself look like a total idiot, then go for YouTube, you know?
For sure. But jokes aside, your content is amazing, but it's true that it's not super searchable on Instagram unless, A, you posted it right away and I can see it in my feed, or I already follow you and then I go through your feed back God knows how many posts in order for me to find something that I may be interested in. Whereas on YouTube, you can even be in 2021, 2022, just YouTube something and it will show up, especially if you've already gotten a lot of clicks and people were watching your video in the past.
I was going to say, I think with Instagram, it really is an in-the-moment experience for the user. You know, you're typically on your mobile device. You're not on a computer. You're on your mobile device. You're scrolling. And so for the marketers who are on Instagram and for the content creators trying to reach an audience, you have to be it's just about being in front of them and making sure that you're engaging, because that's going to keep you in front of those people. And so it's in the moment content. And that has value for branding purposes and just staying in front of folks.
For sure.
That's just one more thing to add to that.
Awesome. Yeah, at the end of the day, if you are in a specific niche, I'm talking to my listeners right now, and you wanted to create an Instagram account, you can still have either a podcast or a YouTube channel and talk about similar topics, but just be mindful of the fact that once you post on Instagram, after a few days, your post is basically going to be archived and it's not going to be searchable, whereas on your podcast or Instagram or on YouTube, things are going to be a bit different. All right, Nate, awesome. I wanted to wrap up now. You give us some amazing value, and I thank you so much for sharing all this knowledge with our listeners. Where can people find you?
Well, I just actually finished relaunching an ebook that I put together. They can go to famejacking.com. This is basically my method for how pages like mine and yours to some degree. Yours is more of a personal brand page, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. But there's this theme page thing out there where all these theme pages are growing pretty quickly. I kind of found that for a business or someone trying to build an audience for their personal brand or whatever, it's easier to build a theme page and then hijack their own page. That's why I call it fame jacking. But they can go there at famejacking.com. They can also just head over to my Instagram, Your Marketing Mentor, and then that's where I'm hanging out. So yeah.
Awesome.
All right, man. Thank you so much for being on the show today. It's been awesome. I know I was having some technical difficulties on my end, but we were able to put it together. So I'm super stoked for our listeners to listen to the podcast and to visit your website and to download your ebook.
Thank you, De Niro. Appreciate it.
And guys, thank you so much for tuning in as usual. And until next time, up your game. And this is it for today, Game Changers. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe to the podcast and you will be the very first person to know when we release new episodes. Also, do not forget to leave a review. It literally takes a minute. It makes my day brighter. And if you send me a screenshot for a limited time on Instagram or by email, you will get a free
15-minute coaching call worth $50. Thank you so much, and I'll see you in the next episode.